Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS and Mac developer based in Herndon, Virginia. This is show number 126, and today is Thursday, May 23rd. Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get started. All right, so I'm going to talk about scale today, and more specifically, probably the verb scaling. This is something that I've been obviously spending a lot of time working on FeedWrangler, is to try and have a reasonable approach to increasing capacity for back-end things. And there's some amount of front-end work that goes into this, but a lot of it is just about how do you plan for, and then how do you actually execute on having something that can scale to a large number of users. There's kind of a couple of phases that this goes through. And so I'll kind of walk through this process. And this is kind of my experience. I'm not an expert at it. And if anything, the experience of FeedWrangler has definitely given me a lot of respect for the people who work for these big kind of crazy VC-funded startups where their goal is just users. And, you know, so it's like a free service which is designed and, you know, sort of built on the premise that within a few hours of launching, you'll have hundreds, if not thousands, if not millions of users. And how difficult that must be in many ways, just technically and emotionally and so on to handle. I'm working through a lot of issues or have worked through a lot of issues that, have the advantage of having a paywall in the front of it. So while my user base is, you know, good and solid and growing and what I was hoping for it to be, it's nowhere near, there's this nice big barrier between what people are, you know, the number of users that I can handle, the number of users that will at any one time jump onto the service. So definitely mad respect to those people who can handle and work through those issues. And obviously there's a lot of that that's just throwing money at it by having people who've done this before, who are specialists in very specific attributes of it, and they can kind of stack those all up. You know, so you have a database guy, a web guy, a front-end guy, a network guy. You can do all those kinds of things rather than obviously me just being one guy working on it. So first off, I'm going to talk a little bit about the planning side. And planning is kind of a tricky thing. When you're launching something new, you never really know what the demand for it is going to be. And you can guess, you can hope, you can kind of maybe back of the napkin kind of guesstimate it. You know, oh, well, there's so many, you know, so many, the potential user base is this size, and I think I'll have this much of a reach, and so on. But for the most part, you're just guessing. And so what I tended to do for this is that my goal was to before launch, to have a system that could scale pretty widely, which could also scale down fairly easily. And so by that, I mean, rather than at every point in the architecture when I'm sort of building how it was going to work and how it's structured, my goal was always to make it so that if I needed to, I could throw money at the problem, which is essentially what you want. You want to be able to say, if things are going crazy awesome, that you can just like, okay, I'm going to throw money at the problem. I'm going to get more servers. I'm going to get bigger servers. I'm going to get faster servers, whatever it is. And, you know, your capacity and your ability to work with that will just increase, you know, sort of if not linearly, but will solidly, you know, solidly increase with that. So a lot of that is, you know, making sure that, like in my case, it's so that, you know, I could probably handle my web traffic on one big beefy web front end. But instead, I chose to put a load balancer in front of a couple, or I think a trio, of web application servers. I didn't necessarily need to do that. I could have just put one big beefy server in the front, but then all of a sudden I have these issues if I need more capacity. I have to put it, you know, insert the load balancer in live in the front and, you know, redistribute traffic and those kinds of issues. It's like, well, I'll just start with that from the beginning. So now, if I need to, I can add more servers on the front end, and my general capacity will increase. I can scale it down if I need to. If I find that I really don't need as many servers as I have, I can just easily unprovision them, remove them from the pool, and we're fine. Similarly, on the back end, you know, with the database, you want to set it up so that if you need to distribute it, that database, if you need to increase its size, you want to have the ability to do that. And it's a little bit trickier with databases because really you only have a few options for doing that. But, you know, it's making sure you have an infrastructure that can support, for example, having multiple read slaves or those kinds of things. And then, you know, I have a worker pool that's doing all the scraping and asynchronous processing for the system. And the same thing, it's designed around that rather than putting all that on one machine and having that kind of be my big beefy, you know, worker bee, I've got a whole, you know, swarm of those that I can easily add new service to or remove service from in a way that makes sense. And I found that to be pretty, you know, worked out pretty well in terms of I was able to launch, and I was like, ooh, I totally underguessed the number of workers I'd need. I think I started with 2, and I'm now to, I don't even know, I've been as high as I think 8 or 9, and I think right now I'm settling in around 4, which seems to be work pretty well. But it was good to have, you know, the infrastructure in place and to have practiced pulling up and bringing down servers and so on. And then in terms of actual scale, this is something that I talked about a few episodes ago where I talked about performance. It's a lot of scale isn't necessarily about volume of machines and those kinds of things. It's one of these things that everyone wishes there was a way that you could just kind of take a dial and turn it up and your capacity would increase, you know, exactly with that. And this is kind of the lie or the, I don't know, the impression that's in like Heroku or one of these managed services gives you, where it's like, oh, you just up the workers and it'll happen. Whereas the scaling seems far more, it's a much more subtle problem in that really what you're trying to do is you have to find the bottleneck and work on it. And so much of what I've been doing now is just constantly working up and down the stack from top to bottom, finding a bottleneck, killing it, crushing it, and moving on to the next one. And that has dramatically increased your scale. You'll find these weird, database indexes that you missed, that you turns out that there's this one call that needs to do it and is taking forever that you didn't really plan for. And I found that that's incredibly helpful to have as a, I guess, as a tool for that is to be able to just work through my stack in a methodical way. So I have my database machine, and I've got professional help. I got a DBA to kind of help me tune and optimize that. It's kind of the crazy thing, and that's probably a fair point. If you don't know how to do something, either spend the time to learn it or just find someone who does and hire them for a short contract to help you and kind of nail out the actual issues. It's kind of remarkable. When I was, I had these database issues, I couldn't quite track them down. I found I was able to locate somebody who's a Postgres DBA who was able to take the machine. Is like, oh, you need to do this, 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 and this, and he's just working through it, which is probably the same kind of experience that I would have if I was telling you, someone shows me their iOS project and they're having some problem. I could be like, oh, here it is, fix this, this, and this. Not being too proud to be like, oh no, I need to find and fix it myself. You do, however, want to make sure you learn all of that, learn what the problems are. But it's kind of a nice process to go through. And the reality is now I could probably run my system on a much fewer servers than I ever could have before. But it's interesting. One of the things you always have to fight in this process is premature optimization. Optimization is going to be essential. It's going to be necessary. It's going to be something that you have to do. But if you optimize too soon, you're going to really kind of struggle because you'll end up adding complexity to your application in a way that you don't necessarily get a payback for. And so a lot of bottlenecks, removing bottlenecks is almost always, unless it's just like a silly mistake or something that you really shouldn't be doing, you're going to add some additional complexity into your application to get a performance benefit out of it. There's usually something like that, some kind of trade-off that you're making in terms of you're trading speed for something else. And often I find that's complexity, that you're taking tasks, and rather than doing them synchronously, you're moving them into an asynchronous queue where you then have to manage what happens if they succeed and fail and so on. There's all these kind of other things that you're doing. If you add that complexity too soon, it's much more complicated than it needs to be. And if you add it too late, your system falls down and doesn't work. Typically what I've been doing, and it's lovely that I've actually been able to round this out, and I think I'm back onto the feature sort of sprint leg of it, was you just kind of sit through and you just methodically work it through. I mean, I've had this long list of like, here's things that aren't quite working right, here's things that are too slow, here's whatever. And you just work through it. And it's a little bit of a drudge. It's a little bit of kind of you're just working your way along. But the nice thing is every time it has this delightfully cumulative effect that you'll often find things that have knock-on effects to other problems. I found some weird issue in my worker queue setup, and it's like, okay, well, let me fix that. And now that actually makes a whole bunch of other issues go away or are mitigated dramatically. I find something, bad in the way that I'm doing feed processing, and I can fix it, and it actually fixes, 6 bugs at a time. And And I think that's been very motivating and helpful for me as I as I go through this process, you know, to be encouraged by the fact that there's usually a lot less the problems are far less severe than you probably fear at the front, and just dive in there, tackle it, get your arms around the problem, and work on it. We'll almost always sort of get a result. You know, there was definitely some times in the last couple of weeks where I've been just like, I'm up at 3 a.m. trying to work on some weird service bug, and I'm like, oh my goodness, what am I, you know, what am I doing? This is crazy. And what I found is, you know, it's like just stay calm. It's like sort of like – it's kind of like they always talk about with like I guess like soldiers, right? Where it's the reason you train is so that when you are actually in the situation that you're prepared for, you'll just act. You don't have to sort of think. You can just kind of do. And it's just like rely on your training and go with it. And that seems to actually have been working. That it's like being well prepared before helps a lot on the back end until you have to deal with issues and things down the road. And that's kind of how I've been scaling it. And the nice thing is you if you take this approach, you become fairly well prepared, and then you just kind of methodically work your way up and down the stack, fixing things and improving things. You very quickly get to a point that you can, I think, that you can round the corner and really start accelerating onto features. And this is where I've been loving this last couple of few days. This week, I'm much more feature-oriented than bug-fix-oriented or stack-oriented. You know, things are tuned and humming along in a way that works really well. And the last thing I wanted to say around that is, as things are humming along, I definitely recommend that if you do any kind of web service work, that you need to have some kind of monitoring service attached to it. For me right now, I use Pingdom, which is just a monitoring service that basically it's, you know, they'll hit a URL on a regular basis and send you a push notification, a text, an email, whatever, however you want to configure, whenever something about that doesn't meet your criteria. And at a first blush, you're like, okay, well, I'll just, you know, set one of these up for some useful, some useful URL, and it'll tell me if my servers are down, which is useful. But the thing I wanted to sort of just talk about a little bit is you can go far farther with that in a way that is much more useful if you are selective and careful and creative about what URL you have it hit. And so this is something that I've started doing that I think has been really helpful for me is you can, rather than just, you know, hitting a main URL, like going to feedwrangler.net and telling me if it's up, I create custom URLs in the app that customers will never see, that aren't, you know, that aren't useful in that way, but that are parts of the application that exercise the whole stack and that, you know, examine exactly what's going on in the system and then report back if there's something there that isn't quite right. And so this is, you know, making sure that I, you know, hits the web server, it goes through the load balancer to the web server, hits the database, comes back, and then, you know, gets presented to the user. Or on my worker side, it's like goes and looks and, you know, hits the web server, goes and looks at the worker queue. Is the worker queue too high? Is it above what I think it should be? If it is, send it back. Or making sure, and in the process, it's also making sure, you know, my Redis server is up, that's handling all the workers, it's handling, making sure the workers are up. You can create these kind of interesting URLs, and then, you know, they send back basic messages, which you can hit directly, and you can then include just status information. So, like, I have an alert that, you know, it hits my worker counter, and if the worker counter is above 4,000, which is a number, there should never be that more than 4,000 in queue jobs at any one time, then I, you know, it sends me a push notification. And the thing that's kind of funny but subtle about that is making sure you have those things gives you tremendous peace of mind. Because I can stop kind of compulsively checking on things in a way that I would have to otherwise, where I have to be constantly SSHing into machines and kind of looking at things and playing with stuff. It's great to be able to just like know that if something goes wrong at any of these, you know, like these four parts of the system, then this particular alert will fire. If anything goes wrong with these parts of the system, these list alert will fire. And once you have developed a fair bit of trust with that, once it really seems to work, it's great to be able to kind of just, you know, push that, put that aside and focus on features and focus on making the product better. One other random note that I want to make is if you are doing this kind of work, if you're working on this kind of stuff, there's a great app called Prompt, which is by Panic, which is an SSH client. And configuring that so that you can SSH into your machines from your phone is amazing in terms of, you know, I've definitely once so far I was out to dinner with my wife and, you know, get this alert that the servers are down, something was funny. It was great to just like pick up my phone, SSH into the machine, found the little thing, which is some worker had, you know, had an error and needed to be restarted. I restarted it, and boom, you know, back in business, came back and enjoy dinner. So definitely a great tool to have. You can configure it with your private key and all that kind of stuff. So it's really convenient. All right, hopefully that was helpful. It's a little bit, you know, sort of into the network administrator side of things. So I'll be back more into the iOS side, which I think most of you listen to this for soon, but it's what I've been thinking about, what I've been doing. All right, so that's it. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, complaints, compliments, I'm _David_Smith on Twitter, David Smith at AppNet, and otherwise have a great week and happy coding. Bye.